Well, good morning. I want to just say hello to those here and especially those in Charleston. We are so excited about everything we're hearing from last week with your first soft opening. The reports just keep coming in, and it's so exciting. And so we are cheering on everything that's happening there, and we cannot wait till February 3rd for your grand opening. And we are praying and expecting just to be a great weekend for Charleston. To what it really is all of the Fields Church. We are expanding our ministries into Charleston and eventually beyond that. And it doesn't really matter what room we're in, that we are one church with one great mission to help as many people as we can really know God in a personal way. So excited about what's happening over in Charleston and what God is doing all throughout the Fields Church. Before I get into today's teaching, I do want to kind of from a pastor's heart share what's right around the corner. In February, groups are beginning. And groups are going to be the very first week of February. So right now is a time to be looking and signing up for those. And I want you to know that catalogs are available that you can look through. You can go to thefields.guide as well and click on groups and look at all the opportunities there. And you need to be in a group. Let me tell you personally, I've enjoyed my group every semester that I've led or been a part of a group. The relationships that Joy and I or myself has built has been good. Let me be real transparent. Last semester, I was sitting at Denny's and with my guys in our book study, and it was right when my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And through teary eyes, I was telling the guys in my group about my dad, and we were praying for him, and I needed that. I needed to know that I had a group of guys that I meet with every Tuesday morning at Denny's, and we were studying the Bible and talking about life, but at that moment, I was really glad to have someone to share and just pray with me. You need that. You need that in your life, too. You need a group. You know that life transformation happens outside of the rows, and so we say all the time, let's move from rows to circles because life transformation happens in the context of relationships. So what can you do? Go to the Fields Guide and click on groups and begin to see that, or you can grab a catalog. So it's really, really important. Let's get into this week's teaching. This week's teaching, we are in the first, which the subline there is the order is important. Because if you get things out of order, things get messed up, and it's January, it's the beginning of the year, we want to make sure we're starting 2019 off on the right foot. And so let's take care of making sure what is first happens and what we need. So the order is important. For instance, like, let me just share a little bit from life. If you have snow muddy boots on, like snow-covered, mud-covered boots on, because of the weather, and you walk in and then walk throughout your house before you take them off, that is the wrong order. Trust me. Listen, I know that maybe from experience. It's first take off the boots, then walk throughout the house. If you get that out of order, you have a mad spouse. I'm just saying maybe by example, or maybe I'm asking for a friend, but I know that a little bit that, listen, I love my wife dearly, but she loves her clean force. So boots off first, then walk throughout the house, because you just don't want to get those kind of things out of order. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Week number one, we talked about how we want to make God first. Week number two, then, we expanded that a little bit to godly thoughts first. Like when we encounter anything, we have a situation in front of us, we want to make sure that our godly thoughts are coming out before natural thoughts or definitely not ungodly thoughts. Now, this week, what we want to talk about is truth first, because we get this out of order all the time. We want to make sure that we, before we're listening to someone else's opinion, and before we're listening to somebody's advice, that we're first listening to God's truth. What does God say about this before someone else? Like, for instance, I know that you guys will lean in and listen to the news on the internet, whether you call that fake news, internet news, Facebook news, whatever that is. A lot of times we let that shape us, and that's what's helping us decide what's right or what's wrong. Or I call this the water cooler wisdom. Sometimes we just hang out with our coworkers in the break room and we start talking about life, we talk about finances, we talk about our marriage, and then we're leaning in on those guys saying, well, what should we do about this? And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times they're not giving us the best advice. And so we want to have God's truth first before we're listening to water cooler wisdom. It might be things like, and I'm not saying anyone here does this, but you know, some people are reading their horoscope, or there's this book called The Farmer's Almanac. I mean, I think they still sell those in grocery stores. I don't know if any of you guys read that thing, but what are we listening to first? God's truth or something else? Like, the last thing we need to be leaning in on first is Facebook counseling. What do you guys think about this? And let all your friends on Facebook tell you what they think you should do and how to solve that problem. Let's go God first, then someone else's opinion after that. Because let me say it this way. Opinions are like armpits. Everyone has one. And they all stink. So we just have to make sure, we got to make sure that we're not just leaning into somebody else's armpit that stinks. Let's look to God first and his truth before we listen to their opinions. Because we live in a very loud world of opinions. Everybody is trying to tell us what we need to do and what we need to think. We need truth first. Truth first, not the world's opinions first. So if you can, open up your phone, go to thefields.guide. You can go to today's teaching notes, and I'm going to dive into some scripture today, and I want you to follow along. You can take some notes yourself. You can submit them. You can email them to yourself. Whatever God is speaking you today, some things that you need to apply, you can take care of that in your notes right at thefields.guide. So you can go to that. But let's look at a letter from Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, when we talk about the importance of God's word and his truth, it says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God's word, scripture, it's inspired by God, and it's to give us the truth and to help us know what's right and to know what's wrong and to correct us and to teach us and to guide us. And I like the fact that Paul's letting Timothy know this is inspired by God. Now, the best way to say our Bibles, like my Bible right now is on my iPad and got my phone, but I didn't bring my paper Bible. We need to all have a paper Bible. I'll tell you about that in a second. But all scripture is inspired by God. The way I'd like to talk about the Bible is God's word. It's authored by God and penned by men. So everything in our Bibles is inspired by God. But men has collected those writings and those thoughts and what God has said to them. In fact, it's compiled into 66 books together, into two big sections called your Old Testament and your New Testament. And if you really want to get kind of nerdy on this, the 66 books, if you want to look at the theological term, it's the canon of Scripture. It's these 66 books put together, God's word, penned by men to say, this is God and his voice into our lives. In fact, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So it is God himself speaking into our lives through his Bible. And we need to receive that in a way that we understand that God's inspiring these authors and these writers to write about things that affect our lives. They are to record the stories of the church. They are to tell and explain the ways of God. They're to give instructions to God's people and to give instructions to his church, even as we gather and what it looks like. And so I'm curious, like, do you read your Bible? Are we reading our Bibles? And I know that not all of us are, so don't hang your head in shame and go, no, I get that. I know that. In fact, I was listening to a pastor this week. I was kind of studying on this, and he was telling a story of somebody that came in, and at their church, they have verses just like this, and they said, boy, that sentence that you put on the screen today was so powerful, and it was so life-changing. I'm just curious, what's up with the dot, dot? The pastor's like, what do you mean the dot, dot? He's like, yeah, she was like, yeah, what's the dot, dot? And you know, you said it, and what she was saying was, this is so powerful, but what is this 2 Timothy 3:16. Like the dot, dot. And, you know, and some people just don't understand. I want you to read your Bible and understand. This book is called 2 Timothy because it's the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And then translators over the years have taken these letters and these books and categorized them into chapters. And so this 3 is the third chapter of the letter. And then there's the dot, dot, the colon, that goes then into 16 because it's been broke up. The chapter's been broke up into verses. And so this is the 16th verse of the third chapter to the second letter to Timothy. And we just need to read our Bibles and understand a little bit more about that and understand where that's coming from. I want you to understand that's important. I want you reading your Bible. I want you reading the verses, you know, asking God, what's that mean? I don't want you just reading verses that we give to you on Sundays. I want you reading it for yourself because it's God's truth, and we're saying God's truth has to come first before somebody else's opinion. So let me give you some advice today, some suggestions. One is this: I believe that we need to receive his word with the right attitude. We need to receive it knowing that this is God's word. This is not just some fictional book. This is not just a book of some really pretty good teaching. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to consider that. It's beyond that. This is God's word. This is God himself speaking into our lives. And we want his truth to come inside, and we need to receive that as what it really is, truth. Now, Paul says this to the church in Thessalonica. And so you're going to see 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He says this. Paul writes, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas." Let's go back to that for a second. Let me look at this. Look, when you received this, it wasn't just our words. These were God's. So thank you. We thank God that you received it. He goes on and says, "You accepted what we said as the very word of God," which of course it is. "And this word continues to work in you who believe." And now, let's go back to that word received. Go back to that verse for a second. Receive his message from us. Now, the original word of this, I don't want to get too geeky on the original language, but it's used a couple other times in the New Testament. And this word receive is really, if you were to open up your door or open up your house or to receive foreigners into your land that you may not technically know real well, but you're saying, it's okay, we want to invite you in. And so what Paul is saying is we're so thankful that you are willing to take the teachings and the truth of God and receive them and welcome them in. So in other words, in English, in plain old English, the best way to translate this word received is come on in. Just come on in. Like, I'm just going to open up the door. Just come on in. So you're telling God, just come on in. Come on in and speak to me. Come on in. I believe in what you're saying. Come on in. I want to hear the truth. And we don't always have to understand it. Like, sometimes we got to try to figure it out. I don't understand everybody that I invite into my house, but there's people I just say, it's okay to come on in. I'll get to know you later. I'll get to know you, but come on in. Listen, I don't know everything about my digestive system, but I like to eat. I like food. I like to say, come on in. I'm going to eat this. I don't know how this body processes it all, but I do know that I like to eat. We don't always have to have it all figured out, but we do need to have this attitude to receive God's word as God's word, and nothing less. Another suggestion I have for you is to admit that you need his truth. We need to admit that his truth is something that we need in our lives. In other words, you can have immediate benefits from God's word. Immediate improvements in your life. When you begin to open up God's word and say, I want truth first. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 12 of chapter 4. He says, "For the word of God," check this out, "it's alive and powerful." These are not just words on a piece of paper. He is saying God's word is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. He goes on to say, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. He's saying God's word can cut deep into who we are and make immediate improvements. He's saying God's word can do a little bit of surgery on your soul when you can't do it yourself. He's saying God's word can cut out something that doesn't need to be there. He's saying that God's word can go in and heal an area of who you are just by God's word getting deep inside of you. He's saying that God's word can repair something that's broken on the inside. Even surgery is a transplant. Take something out that's wrong and put something in that's good. It's like the ultimate heart transplant, allowing God to come in and take something out that's wrong and put something in that's beautiful and right. It's spiritual surgery. When I moved to Mattoon to be a youth pastor here several years ago, I just tell you a story about myself, my own little medical story here. I had something going on my lip. I had this little bump on the inside of my lip, and I'd actually like kind of play with it with my tongue, my teeth, and all of a sudden that bump just got a little bigger. I was like, man, what is that? And I decided I'm gonna try to pop it. And I'd pop it, and it'd just go away for a couple days, about a week. Then all of a sudden it kind of form again. It's a little bit bigger. Like, what is this? You know, and I didn't want to go to the doctor. I didn't want to call. I didn't have time for that. I'd pop it again. It was in the inside of my lip. It'd come back. 2 weeks later, it got bigger. Now it's like the size of a pea. I'd pop it again. And I kept doing this. And it kept coming back. And the next thing I know, embarrassed to tell you this today, it got as big as a big grape. On the inside of my lip, there's this big old bump on the inside of my lip, the size of a grape, but now this thing is rock hard and I cannot pop it. I'm like almost like chewing on it. I don't pop this. I can't pop it. Which then you just have to call the doctor because it looks like you got a big fat lip all the time, and call my doctor, and I go in, I sit down, kind of embarrassed, tell him the story. I tell him it was this big, then it was this big, and then And I tell him, I popped it, it came back, popped it, came back, popped it, came back. I was trying to take care of it myself. And now look what I got. And he goes, you shouldn't have done that. I go, thank you. Thank you. So he goes, I think that's a cyst. I don't think there's anything bad. I don't think it's wrong. I mean, we'll just cut that thing out. He brought in another doctor that's across the hall. And before he did this, he said, hey, and they agreed. Yep, this is just like your typical cyst. So he goes, we're just going to numb your lip today. I'm going to take this little blade. I'm going to make a little cut. And we're going to get that out. I go, well, okay. So he puts this little napkin on my chest, and he takes out his blade, and he cuts it, and thing just pops out. Like, literally, he showed it to me. And he goes, here, this is your cyst. It's gone. It's out of here. And he put two little stitches in my lip, and it's gone. And it was awesome and never came back. And that's been, 15 years ago, and that thing is out of here. I could not do that on my own. I needed someone literally to take a blade, to cut something, get it out of there, and now it's gone. And a lot of times in life, we're always trying to fix things on our own. I'll just take care of that myself. I'll just try to figure this one out myself. I'm going to ask the people at work, what do you guys, I'm going to post this on Facebook, how do you guys solve this? And we try to do it ourselves. And sometimes we just need to open up God's word, lean into God's word. It's alive and it's powerful, and it can create just an immediate improvement in your life because God's word can do some surgery right down in your life right now. So let's get practical about this. I know you want that. I know you want a better year. I know you want a better life. I know you want some of your life problems fixed. We all do. And so now it's, so how do I make God's word first? How can I make sure truth is first? Let's get practical. I want to tell a story that comes out of our Old Testament. And there was a leader named Joshua. And at the time that he became leader, Moses, you may have heard of Moses in the Old Testament. He had died, he passed away, and now Joshua's the new leader. And Joshua's got like really big shoes to fill. And he's like calling out to God, like, God, like Moses led all the people, and now it's my turn. And so he's having this conversation with Moses. And he's saying, man, it's my January. It's the beginning of the year. It's the beginning of my season. It's the beginning of my leadership. This is my new era. I want to do this right the first way. So he's kind of having his own, this is the beginning of the year. I got to figure this out. This is the beginning of my leadership. I got to figure this out. And this is what God says to him. This is what I want us to hear today. God says this. You can read it in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He says this, be strong and very courageous. I love that. God first says, just be courageous in life. Be strong. And then he says this, be careful to obey all the instructions. Obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. He goes on and says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Who doesn't want that this year, right? We want to be able to prosper and succeed in 2019. And this is what God is saying to Joshua. I want us to get this. The first thing he says is you've got to obey the word. You got to obey what Moses has said to you. Now, you may not know this. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. So when he says obey Moses, he's saying, I want you to know Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you need to obey what Moses has told you. He said, obey the word. Be careful to obey all these instructions that Moses has given you. So how do we do that? The first thing we need to do is, if there's going to be obedience connected to God's word, that means on our end, there's action. So we have to take action when we read God's word. We need to obey it. We need to do what it says. We need to be doers of the word, not just readers of it or hearers of it or sit in church and just be here on Sundays, but doers of it. So we need to take action. We need to let this assimilate into our life. We need to get it inside of us. We need to be able to listen to God's word. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but the way that you listen to the teaching of God's word is you're in church. Now you guys are here today. You're here today. And I'm excited for that. And that is so important. But there's some people that they're not very specific or strategic about that. They just kind of show up when they want to or when they think they need to. And I want us to be in church every week because I want us to be hearing God's word every week. Listen, I'm not saying that to build up a church. I'm saying that to build up you. You need to be built up in God's word. So in other words, church has got to be on your schedule. There's times I'm out in a lobby, I'm talking to some of the people who are like, oh, Pastor Travis, so glad we decided to come today. That message just spoke right to my heart. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But really what I'm thinking is you just decided to come. You mean it wasn't on your schedule? Like, it's Sunday. Like, just have it on your schedule. Sunday, we go to church. We learn from God's word. Whoever's teaching that weekend, I want to receive the teaching of the truth. And just let's be strategic about it. And then we got to read it. Read it for ourselves. We don't just show up on Sundays and read whatever we put up on the screen. We read this ourselves. That's why you need your Bible, not just a Bible. Read your Bible. Underline, circle. I love the digital versions. I use the digital versions all the time. There is something about the your Bible. Scientists even say as they study this that we begin to retain more information when we read off of pages. And in fact, actually, as you hold a book and you flip pages and one side becomes less than the other and you know you're over halfway through the book and you can feel it, there's something mental about continuing the journey and finishing it out. So there's something good there. There's something interesting there. So I don't really care if you're listening to reading the digital version or the paper version. We need to be reading it. And I want you to know how important that is. The second thing that God says is not just to obey the word, but he says, do not deviate from it. Don't deviate from it. Don't turn either left or right. Don't be drifting away from it. Like, we need to follow God's truth in life all the time. We don't pick and choose when we want to follow it. Pick and choose if we're going to listen. I want to follow it in this area of my life, but I'm not going to follow it in this area of my life. You know, I've shared with you before, I've had my own personal health journey for the last year and a half. And I have a program and a plan I follow. And this is the saying we say all the time. If you modify the plan, you're going to modify your results. But if you follow it, you're going to see great results. And here's the deal. If we modify God's word, if we modify his truth, you're going to modify the outcome of what God wants to do in your life. And then you're sitting around saying, why aren't good things happening? And why isn't this solved? And why? It's because we're modifying God's word. We're picking and choosing. Listen, he is the author of his truth, and we do not have editing privileges. We do not get to say, well, I'm gonna delete this part and I'm gonna keep this part. No, God's word is God's word. And the other thing I want you to hear, and listen in on this one, I know culture is always changing. And I know that it's 2019. I get that, I know that. But to sit back and go, that Bible thing is old and out of date, and that was for a long time ago. I want you to know God's word stands true today as it did yesterday, as it did a generation ago, as it did when Paul wrote this. God is still God. Sin is still sin. And our life matters to God. And we have to have some direction in our life. And we need to understand that his word, we need to stand on his word. And his word is supreme. The other thing that God says to Joshua is not just to deviate from it, but then he goes on and says, let's study it. Study these books. Study the book of instruction that I've given you. Therefore, reading your Bible every day is not just a checklist. I am not just saying, well, got that done today. No, what God is saying is that you need to read this, you need to study it, you need to understand it. If you're going to know God, you have to know the Bible, and you have to understand it. You got to study it. You got to figure out what it's saying. Let me give you a little tip here. If you don't understand your Bible, you need to get a translation that makes sense to you. Okay? Do not be married to a certain three-letter version of your Bible. I'm a KJV only. I'm NIV only. I'm NLT only. I'm MSG only. Just be G-O-D only. Just is God speaking into your life? Is God communicating his truth to you through his Bible? Find a version that makes sense, that's easy for you to understand. Some people get all bent out of shape on that. I am sorry if that's one of you. I want someone understanding their Bible more than being stuck on one type of a version of it. We got to get it into us and we have to understand it. Some of you guys are going to send a lot of emails my direction on that one, but so be it. I just want all of us understanding the truth of God. So we have to have a version that makes sense. So we study it. Number four, then he says to meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Meditate on it. You know what rhymes with meditate? Marinate. That's right. I love grilling. I love meat. And I love the idea of getting a good piece of meat. And then you create this special sauce and you put it in a container and that meat sets in there overnight and it marinates and it soaks it in and you put it on the grill and you can smell it as it's cooking and all that sensory of that meat is on the grill. And I'm not into that put meat on the grill and take a brush and some sauce and brush it on. If you do that, that stuff just falls right off or it burns right off. It needs to soak in there. And when you soak that meat overnight and you put it on the grill and it grills and it smells so good, it is mouth-watering good. Like security, make sure nobody's leaving right now to go to lunch. Like I know everyone's wanting to leave right now, but it is like marinating a piece of meat for a couple days and then putting it on the grill it's good. It's so good. And guess what? Like God is telling Joshua, you gotta meditate on God's word. You gotta get it inside of you. Don't just brush it on real quick because it's gonna fall right off. Get it inside of you. Read it, pray about it. Seriously, God can weave that inside your soul. He can weave his word inside your soul and it gets deep down inside of you. That's what God wants you to do. Let me help you combine all of this is what God said to Joshua. So it's really like I can go home today and do this. Let me combine some thoughts here, give you a way to do all of this. And today I'm going to make it easy. It's going to spell a word. It's going to spell soap. S-O-A-P, soap, okay? You make sure you get this down in your notes, okay? The S stands for scripture. So you got to read your scripture. So maybe you want to start out in Mark, okay? Everybody start in Mark or Matthew or John. Start, if you're new to this, start in the New Testament. Start in one of the Gospels. Start learning the story of Jesus, okay? And you want to read the scripture. So maybe you just read a paragraph and you want to read it. Maybe you need to read it out loud. Some people say it's really important to write it down, like write down the entire verse. And so you know what the scripture says. And then the second thing you do, the O, is to observe. You have to ask yourself, what kind of observations can I make based on what I just read here? What's going on in this story? This would be really scary. This would be really exciting. Wow, that's a miracle. Wow, that's really, what do you observe from scripture? Okay, so you write down your observations. And then the A is to apply. And you're asking yourself, okay, God, what do I do about this? The apply is asking God, what are you saying to me when I read this? What am I supposed to do about it? How am I going to live this out? And then the P on soap is to pray. And we begin to pray. And that's where the marinade comes. That's where you're saying, Holy Spirit, work this throughout me. Get this in me, deep in me. Give the Holy Spirit permission to let that soak deep inside of you. And so when you read the scripture and you observe it and you apply it to your life and you pray it over, it's going to change your day. When you begin to say God's truth first, it will change the way you think, your attitude, your actions. It changes everything. And this is what God said to Joshua. If we do this, if we apply God's word first, he says, when God's truth is first in your life, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, I know some of her saying, I need that. Like 2018 wasn't very good, so I need this in 2019. I want to see that then my life will prosper and succeed in all I do in 2019. How do we get there? God's truth first. Not the opinions of your coworkers. Not what your mother-in-law suggested. Not what you read on Facebook. God's word first. And when we begin to put God's word first, you're going to see your life change for the best. Truth first. Truth first. Before you ever turn to anyone or anything for information or advice, you're turning to God's truth first. Listen, we all need that. We all need that reminder today that we need to listen to God's truth first. We all need that. Now, some of us in the room, we also just need to make God first. We need to ask Jesus to be first in our life. Before you start reading your Bible and saying, I want to apply all these things to my life, I have to ask yourself, do you even have a relationship with God? And can you make God first? Then you can make his truth first. See, Jesus wants to be first in your life. And you can invite him in today. You can invite him in, give him access to your life, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and then be the leader of your life. And when you do that, life change is going to take place. Some of us have been trying to do things on our own, kind of like I was trying to fix my lip on my own. Some of you trying to live life on your own. I'll fix it myself. I'll take care of it myself. I'm just trying to live things on my own way. And you know right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, that little tug in your heart, you're hearing right now that it's time to quit trying to do it on your own, and you're going to surrender it over to God, and you're going to give God permission. And so that's what I invite you to do today. Will you invite Jesus into your life to take over and to take control? Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray for that today. Let's pray.